Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Nothing back with DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black boogies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, just stealing your lunch money. You're such a buddy, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say, you got a strong man to be.
Miser, miser,
sister,
that's
a problem on the floor, man.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Is it the conference finals feel a bit down to you? Are you a little bit down about the conference finals?
I've been down about this playoffs. I just don't quite have that. Well,
no, Denver Timberwolves was a lot of fun. Was really compelling.
Was it? Apart from, like, which games were good?
Yeah, I suppose they weren't really that close, were they?
Yeah, I mean, that was what I said in
a lot of blowouts.
Our side channel, our other media commitments, that the game six of Mavs OKC was the game I'd been waiting the entire playoffs for because it was a fucking tremendous game of basketball. And to be fair, the game one of Mavs
Timberwolves, yeah, was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Although it was clear that it was a bit like watching, let's say, mid-aughts A-League, where the defenders, the level of the defense is much higher than the level of the attack. And so as a result, the game was, you know, there was a lot of missed shots and a lot of, like, good shots were being contested really effectively. And as a result, you know, there was a lot of slop happening. And by the end of it, Ant was walking around looking like a 93-year-old man.
Yeah, see, I think one of the things that the in-season tournament sort of showed us was, hey, there's better basketball when you give these guys rest. And I understand that winning a finals is as much a war of attrition as it is who is the actual best team from game to game. But is it really good for the sport to have Ant so gassed that he can't run up and down the court?
Well, that's the irony, isn't it? That you know, the mid-season tournament showed that you get good basketball if you're rested. But it also, the mid-season tournament and the 65-game limit were the things that made all these key players play so many more. Like, you remember,
that's why they're gassed.
You remember fucking, you know, the sentient cotton bud Silver going on about, you know, in basically his pitch to the TV markets, and the TV markets are going to respond with $7 billion, it sounds like. But his thing was like, we are having fewer all-star game hours lost, you know, compared to previous years. Well, you can't say that the outcome of that is Giannis and Jimmy and Dame and yada, 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 all not making it past
Halliburton
today. Brunson was a broken hand, but he was carrying all manner of injuries. You can't say that's the thing that's directly responsible for that is the fact that everyone was having to play at full throttle for much, much more of the season. But you can't say it's not.
I definitely think, and this is just anecdotal experience from my time in the sport, but I reckon you get more contact injuries when people are fatigued. You see more contact injuries at the end of carnivals.
Yeah, you make more mistakes. I can absolutely see that. You blunder for gaps that your body can't quite make.
Yeah, you put your body in positions that it shouldn't be in, and isn't in normally, and your brain and your, like, everything's just not working quite as well together. Like, the stupid thing is that the fix is there, play less games, but they're just not going
to
do
That's not a fix, and you know it's not a fix. You're not getting $7 billion. It's America. You have to build. You have to expand. You have to make more and more and more. You can't do that with less. It's not possible.
Well, the funny thing is that the owners are going to find that their financial levers become more meaningless because the money is just going to get so big for those top players that, you know, the difference between $80 million a year and $60 million a year probably isn't as much between the difference between $30 million and $15
million. That assumes these people aren't hyper-competitive assholes. In much of and what you see in sports that don't have a salary cap, like in baseball, or even in the big contracts in NFL, is that it doesn't really matter what the number is. It just has to be one more than the other guys at your position.
The other guy, yeah. And the other, like, not to sort of get away from the basketball, but Denver, I think, is sort of a fascinating case study
That's a team that can get away from the basketball for a good couple of months.
Their GM sort of sniffed the wind and went, well, if we buy a couple of expensive, well, not expensive, but if we add to our tax bill with some veterans this year, it might really screw us up for, like it just makes it unsustainable going down the track, because as you get into those aprons, it just takes away all the tools that you've got to do anything at all. So
this is the team that gave a max to Michael Porter Jr. though, so we can't really, you know, part of this is self-inflicted.
Yeah, that's true, but that happened before the new, like I think Booth is sort of looking at the, and that's the thing, right, is Dennis Jones Jr. and PJ Washington are probably making less combined than Porter is, and if you look at their game logs, like that's exactly the sort of production that Denver needed, right? They just needed a little bit more out of one person, and that's theoretically what Porter's there for, and he didn't.
Well, you look at both the beaten semifinalists, you look at Denver, and you also look at OKC, who, as we've discussed previously, you know, consciously chose not to go in, not to trade in a bunch of chips and make a big push to kind of see what their team looks like. Now, you could say, surely OKC had learned from the last time they got, you know, up the pointy end.
Big difference.
And never made it back, to think maybe these opportunities don't just come around every year. You know, I hope they don't live to regret that like they did the Harden team.
The Harden trade?
More the Harden team. And part of that's because, you know, what they got in replacement of Harden, you know, in the end wasn't enough to maintain them as a contending team. But the idea that we can take it easy this year and we can kind of see what we've got, because there's always next year and we'll be back here unlimited numbers of times. I always hate that logic, because it often doesn't quite work out the way that you think it's going to. But that point aside, OKC and Denver both didn't improve essentially at the, well, OKC tried to improve with Gordon Hayward, which is not improving. But PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford were sitting there for somebody. You know, there's a whole lot of dudes floating around the Southeast division of the Eastern Conference that they could have been picked, and it was only the Mavs who actually went out and got those guys.
Well, to further give the Mavs front office props, Dennis Jones Jr. and Exum. Now, Exum hasn't played that well since he came back from injury, but
he was good in yesterday's game. He did some good stuff in yesterday's game. He'd been pretty much on the shelf for most of until now. But they are finding use for him, particularly with his defense at the moment.
Yeah, but what they did was get a whole bunch of guys that weren't worth a heap of cash, and actually play them to see what they could do, so that when they needed to fit them into a situation, they could. And that's where, like Malone comes from that Steve Kerr, you know, I've got to trust you to play you. But I think that coaches like that are going to have to adapt into the new CBA and go, well, I'm going to have to play a guy enough that I'm going to have to build a guy up so that I do trust him in these situations, because it's just not sustainable playing six guys against a team like Minnesota. And that's where they really miss just one guy to go off and have a spark, you know, and they just didn't have it. If their main guys were gassed, they didn't have anyone that could sort of pop up unexpectedly, you know, like a PJ Washington or even a Josh Hart. Like Josh Hart had that big scoring game. Nembhard's had bits for the Pacers. And OKC were a little bit the same in that they even sucked more because Giddy and J-Dub, like their second and third guys, really. And Chet had good games, but not like what was the Chet game in that series?
He was a rookie being asked to play like an all-star so that's, you know, it's,
which is why I think OKC aren't that, like they had a second and a rookie, a second year player and a third year player essentially as their 2, 3, and 4 best players.
But they've still got to make a move. So, I heard Josh Giddey described as unplayable on a podcast today, which I thought, I'm unplayable.
Sure.
Josh Giddey was fine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Zach Lowe said today that Zach Lowe or Chris Wright, one of them was like, well, I might have to suit up for the Sixers next year because they've essentially got two players under contract.
Hmm.
And, you know, if you're a role player, like I know that they've got salary to fill so they can overpay people, but are you running to be part of that team? I don't know whether you are.
Yeah. We should probably say for the record that Josh Giddey has beaten the charges. He's not. He's, neither the cops nor the NBA are investigating him anymore over what he got up to on the TikToks or anywhere else. I still don't fucking trust him.
Look, if he was in Australia, he'd be right, because all those people would be banned off social media anyway.
Well, that's true, and probably fair enough too. That's a good old, very enforceable fucking law, that one. Great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Great
idea. That one's going to be really enforceable for digital natives. Sure.
Yes, yes.
They won't have any way to get around that.
No.
God, Tim.
But it'll make boomers feel happy. Well, the boomers got phones banned in schools here, and they're trying all kinds of other stuff just because they want to bring us back to 1952. So that's great.
Which team are you supporting that's left? I really don't want Kyrie to win a title because I'm already seeing a whole bunch of people that I would never want to associate with it, basically saying Kyrie's success, you know, makes his views legitimate. And I'm like, no, that just...
Who are these people? Who are these fucking straw men? I don't see any of this sort of shit. And if you don't want... You can just enjoy the man playing basketball. I mean, that's possible. I enjoy both these teams in the Western Conference, and I probably prefer the T-Wolves to win, but as long as one of them is healthy and they can just pulp the fucking Celtics, I'm fine.
That's my fear, right, is that we're going to get another knockdown, drag-em-out, seven-game slugfest.
We're going to get the worst champion in history, I think, if the Celtics win. Because the Celtics, I mean, the way they almost lost game one was... It becomes a cliche.
But they didn't even look that flash today. Like, they gave up 15,
No, they made fucking hard work of it. Heavy weather of beating a decent Pacers team without their best player.
Yeah, they're a Pacers team. That Pacers team, I would say, is a team that's being built. It's not built yet.
No.
You know, it's sort of, it's still under construction, even more so than OKC, right? And they got a good coach and they've got some good players, but...
Well, Carlisle did kind of fuck up the end of game one, but then again, everybody in a Pacers uniform fucked up the end of game one. And I suppose we just all bitter because that was probably their best chance. It'll be one of those things where it'll be an extremely close sweep or the gentleman or the generic variety.
That's a challenge that the Celtics are willing to take. Can we get beaten by Andrew Nembhard and
Spicy P. Siakam?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. If the Pacers can shoot 67% again like they did in the go-home game against the Knicks, that was completely wasted on the Knicks. They didn't need, you didn't need to shoot 67% to beat that Knicks side. You just had to stand and let them fall over.
I sort of want the Timberwolves to win just for Draymond's brain to explode.
I think, again, you're paying too much attention to absolute fuckwits on the internet. I mean, you have a much happier life if you just don't listen to these people.
I have liked the running joke from just about anyone that TNT are trying to sabotage the end of Inside the NBA by just constantly putting Draymond on there. It's just like wreck the brand as we go out.
Well, here's the thing. Isn't Draymond signed to work on TNT? And when TNT doesn't have NBA rights.
Yeah, that's hilarious. He'll have to be doing golf or college football or something.
No, he'll get picked up by someone else. Maybe not ESPN, but somebody else. It's going to be interesting to see which major network kind of leads it because NBC is their, if you like, their brand is not anywhere near as daring as TNT, which is essentially a cable channel. So they're much more willing to be... I mean, Inside the NBA is essentially like a late-night show. It's more like a Tonight Show or a Conan or something like that in terms of the tone and that's very much not the way, NBC broadcast sports. It's extremely serious and dry balls, like their NFL coverage.
They sort of can't because Inside the NBA is a show that just sort of starts and finishes whenever they run out of shit to talk about. And NBC is a free-to-air network that has time slots. Like, that's not how Inside works.
Although Inside does have to operate to network television things because it is, there are Turner networks that it goes on. But it does tend to – the after show does tend to womble on for quite a lot longer than you expect it to.
So, Amazon, who could easily license that show from TNT if they wanted to.
Yeah, but
it is a logical home.
I don't think so.
You can do whatever you like there.
Yeah, I don't think so because I mean the benefit of that is that it's on, you kind of leave the channel on. And that doesn't leaving the channel on afterwards doesn't really exist anymore. For streaming you go specifically to a location to watch the thing and then you go to a different location. There isn't this thing where you switch the TV on and you leave it on the channel for the duration.
Anyway. It has been an interesting, like the NBA rights, because
the
ESPN
NBA
just paid a lot of money because they have to, right? But some of the media stuff that I've been listening to and reading was that the NBA sort of felt that between ESPN and TNT, there was a little bit too much, well, it's not as good as it was in my day action.
But that's why ESPN moved on Jeff Van Gundy, is essentially because they were feeling, to a certain extent, they were responding to the NBA saying, can you please have people on your shows that are a bit less negative about the state of the fucking basketball?
And then ESPN's sort of current coverage is more about look at us, not look at the game.
Yeah.
Like it's all about Stephen A. Smith and Perk and...
I caught a bit of the halftime break show and there was five people on a desk all trying to get a word in. And Stephen A. Smith was sitting on the corner being really pissed off and then he got finally thrown a bone just as they were running to commercial and you could sort of hear the bitterness in his voice. But there was fucking Chris Paul and Wilbon, who's... I don't know what the fuck he's doing anywhere. He's garbage. And Bob Myers looking confused. It was just such a weird and sad and stupid piece of rubbish compared to TNT's show, which is just the Inside the NBA guys. But you can see what happens when you have charisma and chemistry. And, you know, there's just like five people waiting in a fucking airport lounge who had nothing in common.
And that's not to say that NBC will do it heaps better, but having a completely new partner does allow a reset, right?
Aren't you worried about the fact that all the chat about NBC is we're going to bring it back to the 90s and we're going to bring back the old theme music and it's going to be just like NBA on NBC in like 1992? But Marty Jones had the best point. It was like, hear me out. What if we did something new?
New.
And then the responses were from other media types saying, oh, come on, but Marty, you know, how could you not want a round ball rock to come back? And it's like,
well,
this isn't bringing the kids in.
Beck and Brian Curtis sort of had a really good way of looking at it, was bring back the song and bring back the logo, but like use that as your like comfort food for the old people, and then do something like, you can't bring it back in entirety anyway, because all those announcers and all the personalities that were involved are all gone. So
I think it was,
you know,
Marv Albert and fucking, who was he? It was, it might have been Bill Walton or somebody, you know, it was.
Yeah. So get one of the, you know, get one of the Eagles and just, you know, try and do something completely different from the channels.
You mean
that
the commentators,
it.
Not the 70s rock band. I thought you really, fuck the 90s. Let's go back to 1975. Well, the thing is that.
What do the Eagles do?
The thing is that TNT's commentator, there are some really good guys on TNT's commentary team, but most of those guys are freelancers. Like Kevin Harlan, he does lots of work on radio and he calls NFL games for Fox. Iron Eagle calls NFL games for CBS.
And Nets games.
So they're all itinerant, so they can all, they're not network locked. They're not like a 90s cell phone. They're not locked to the network they come with. You can hire them away. I got a bit too happy with my own joke there, didn't I?
It's really only Reggie, isn't it? Reggie and a couple of the inside guys are like...
And you can do without Reggie. Yep. You can fucking do without Reggie. Stan Van Gundy has been a really good addition. Brian Anderson, I think, is the other guy. He's reads quite good.
Crawford's been interesting. He's actually been a lot... not that I listen to heaps of basketball with the commentary up, but he's actually been a little bit sort of in between a layman and JJ Redick. Like,
yeah.
You know, not quite as I, you
know. Not quite as, here's how smart I am, can I have a job, please?
His horns into sloppy into, you know, this and this. But
it is a shame because TNT's crew of people who talk about basketball and people who commentate on basketball is much better than ESPN's. But one of those teams is going to get broken up and it isn't ESPN's, which is a damn shame.
Well, and then there's Amazon who have to start from sort of whole cloth, no history at all to do.
But they did that with their NFL thing, and their NFL thing was actually really good. They paid money to kind of subcontract Al Michaels, who was kind of in semi-retirement on NBC, and they borrowed one of ESPN's college guys, and their panel was all young recently retired dudes. And their show is actually really good. Their pre-game and post-game and halftime is really good. And their commentary is decent. So, I mean, obviously Jeff Bezos has more money than God, so he can afford to do it properly. But they did do it properly. And they didn't pitch it too old. It's a much younger feeling show than NBC or CBS. Ironically, ESPN's football is a hell of a lot better than their basketball in terms of their coverage. Although, to be fair, ESPN's actual callers are pretty good, but it's Mike Breen who will go and commentate for anybody if you pay him enough money.
Yeah. I have to say, I agree with you. This has not been the most enjoyable final series, and I think just because the Celtics are just
I forgot that you were holding it against the Mavs just for Kyrie's existence, which is fair enough, or for Kyrie's fans, you know. You know, Jesus also had fans who were really irritating too, you know.
I did like his shoes. Did you see his shoes with the...
I did see... Can I admit something here? Because we're amongst friends. When it said Kyrie pays homage to his heritage with moccasin-style sneakers, I thought, what, Western suburbs of Melbourne? But no, apparently that's it would have been Ugg boots, I suppose, if it was properly Melbourne.
I was hoping it was like wearing a pair of pluggers on the front or something.
But no, it was his American Indigenous heritage, not his Melbourne heritage, because it would be Ugg boots.
I like guys that do crazy shit with their shoes. Like even Jokic leaning into his goofiness by having a SpongeBob SquarePants, you know, set of colorways is just that's where you should be able to have fun, right? Can't all be serious all the time.
Well, they pay me money, they give me horse money, so that's all right.
That's all right. I just really don't have much analysis. I expect the Wolves and the Mavs to just like be this real seesawing up and down 7-game series.
I don't know.
It'll be a bit. You think that the Mavs might have the edge?
Look, I don't want to. I know we do the nobody knows anything thing, but
yeah.
Would you have expected, think about game one, would you have expected the Mavs to utterly dominate in the paint? Would you expect the Wolves to be utterly dominant from the perimeter? Would you expect the Wolves to dominate the entire game and somehow lose? I mean, nothing about game one made it any sense, which makes me think that nothing about this series is going to make any sense. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy watching the basketball.
No, and normally, like, a win like that away from home, you know, you go, well, the Mavs have the upper hand. It's like, this team just won 3 games in Denver, and Denver's like the hardest place to win away.
Someone did the stats on game sevens in the recent past, and home teams win game 7, but it's not 12-0 anymore. It was like 8-4 in the last 12. It's now it's not a thing the same way it used to be.
No. And the NBA is a choices now have ramifications later. Like, you know, right from the start of the season, you choose to trade this guy, you choose to sign this guy instead of this guy. Like, it all just sort of snowballs into an avalanche by the end of the season. And that's what that Timberwolves game felt like. It's like, and Pat said it to me, you know, when the Nuggets were up 20 and Malone just could not trust himself to give Jokic 3 or 4 minutes rest with that lead. Like, they lost the lead anyway, so why not lose the lead and give Jokic a rest, which is a really counterintuitive way to think as a coach. Very, very hard.
I feel like losing the lead broke them, and that was, you know, that was the point at which they weren't coming back.
Yeah, too many. Also, if you're the guy that, like, is the really good passer and is passing out to people taking open shots and they're just missing them, maybe subconsciously in your head you go, it's just not our night.
Well, they kind of kicked the ball into the fucking bunker a little bit too early in that game too. I mean, there was, you know, about a minute to go, they were kind of plodding off and Jokic was untying his shoes and it was a bit, they kind of white flagged it a little bit early given that, you know, that they could have dragged it out with the foul game and so forth. But, you know, I think they were done. They wanted to go home. They had stuff to do. So,
well, look, the Warriors might be the last ever for a very long time until, you know, teams find a way around this new CBA, but I don't think we're going to get... I think it's going to be really, really, really hard to win 2 of 3.
Yeah.
Or
to be a dynasty. The best you'll do is like, I mean, the Mavs have now made 2 conference finals in 3 years. The Celtics have always been thereabouts in the East, but you're not going to get winners of 3 and 4 anymore. I mean, this will be the 6th different champion in the last 6 years. And there is kind of an argument to be made about, you know, parity versus mediocrity there.
We're certainly not getting, you know, Cavs Warriors for 4 years again, I don't think.
No, but we're also not getting, you know, and part of that's because you're just not going to get the concentration of talent in the one place. Unless it's accidental, like it's just they happen to draft a couple of brilliant players one after the other. And then, even then, they won't hang together for very long.
Even the Wolves feel like they've got a 2-year window, right?
1 year, because they're gonna be apart after this year. This is their one shot. I don't expect them to be back here next year.
Well, like I could see if they made a deep run, like, or if they either won it or made a deep run, I could see whoever their owner is next year, which is a bit of a coin flip.
Well, that's part of is that going to be resolved? I mean,
like, just overpay for 1 year and then, like, completely broken up for pieces, and it's Ant and, you know, a bunch of rookies essentially, or bit parts, because you know they couldn't afford to pay the bill for too long.
Well, that only works if it's Glenn Taylor, because the Laurie A-Rod group were going to they were going to break it up immediately, because they've got that baseball mentality where you constantly sell off your stars.
Which is another thing that makes it hard for the Nuggets, because no matter how professional and how good you are, having that security of, well, we've got our chip, versus Ant and Mike Conley and Kat going, well, this might be our best chance for a decade. We have to go that little bit harder. We can't leave anything left in the tank.
And they're playing a five seed. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about home court advantage. The Mavs aren't going to play with home court advantage in any series in this playoffs, and they might still win everything.
Did you want to bother with the All-NBA stuff, which is a bit of a straw man?
I'm glad these people are going to get paid. I mean, I always run with the, okay, if such and such is got snubbed, who are you taking out? And in the end, you just end up arguing yourself around in a fucking circle. It's fine.
I guess that the only sort of compelling argument I had is that the Lakers and the Suns weren't that good of a team, and they got 4 out of the 15 spots.
But a lot of the other teams are teams that are built collective effort.
Yes.
And also, these things are still popularity contests, because people's idea of who is good trails a little bit behind people, what actually is true of who is good.
You've only got to look at Sabonis getting a first team vote. Like,
was that from Mark Stein? I mean, somebody from Sacramento did that?
I don't know.
Sabonis was the reason that the Kings did anything at all this year.
Sure.
Because Fox slipped.
Him getting second team votes is completely defendable. Him getting third team votes is, more than likely, depending on the way that you look at the game and how, what you value. But a first team vote this year, that's pretty. I don't know whether I would like to try and have to argue that case in a debating contest, that's for sure.
I don't think you should have to. It's just a vote. It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Everyone's got them and no one wants to see them. That's just what it is.
That they do need to disconnect that salary stuff from All-NBA, though, because that's just ridiculous.
They should. They've got to have some kind of independent assessment, though, and that is independent of the teams.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that, it just puts the media guys in an awkward spot. But the ones who find it too awkward opt out of it, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much of an issue. And again, as you said, the people are getting so much fucking money. The difference is mostly about ego and less about the actual financial impact of the differences in salary.
That's right. You've got generational money no matter what.
Yeah.
It's really not going to ruin your great-great-great-grandkid's life if you don't get a Supermax.
The ensuing climate apocalypse is going to do that in about 30 years. So, who gives a fuck?
That's right.
That or the AI
No
bots.
One's going to be able to enjoy the Supermax anyway.
Yeah.
It does
Supermax will be the name of the fucking bunker that you live in to avoid this clamoring hordes. Welcome back to our basketball podcast.
It does make someone like Halliburton interesting, though.
With the oil company who are responsible for this shit.
Because now he's eligible for a Supermax. But he's your best player and you're in the conference finals and you made the knockout tournament final. So it's a good team and you got to pay someone, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. That's the problem with the salary cap system, is that you end up paying the best player on your team like he's the best player in the league, when he probably isn't. He could be the 30th best player in the league. He could be worse than that.
Yeah.
But this was always the problem. That's why, there are certain guys who were on the Super Duper Max that absolutely shouldn't be on that, but they had to be because the top end of the market is artificially flattened.
Yep. All right. Got any other sporting takes for me this week, Doc? Any obscure cycling you want to throw out?
No. Well, the Giro's happening, but Pogacar is doing his best to absolutely annihilate everybody, so it's kind of happening and kind of everybody's already looking to the tour. I see the A-League All-Stars are playing like a third-string Newcastle United team at the moment in front of one of the sparsest crowds I've ever seen at Marvel Stadium. It's so sparse you can actually see the Marvel on the seats. So the A-League's going well.
Tottenham out here at the moment?
Tottenham came out for one game. It's kind of ridiculous, all these Premier League sides complaining about the workload and all that kind of shit, and then
and they fly out like side of the world
like the day after that the season ends to come out and do a cash-in game. But you know, what do you expect?
It's almost like Premier League teams being like your local tradie. Yeah, mate, I'll come fix that door up for you. $100, just pay me cash.
100? You'd be lucky. Speaking of money, Newcastle are playing in their Saudi Arabia away strip kind of shit, which is a good reminder that they are a trash team owned by trash people. They look like the Celtics.
Is there any Premier Leagues that aren't trash teams owned by trash people at this stage?
West Ham?
Okay.
They'll do.
Like, Wrexham might become everyone's bloody second team simply that they're not owned by an oil company or someone from the Middle East.
Yeah, but they're owned by a Canadian who swears performatively on camera. And that's not much better. I think Russell Crowe is bought into, fresh from giving, you know, he who cannot die, Wayne Bennett, his next contract. I think Russell Crowe actually owns a little bit of Leeds these days.
Oh, really?
I think that's true. And Leeds are a game away from going back to the Premier League. They have to beat Southampton in the playoff final, which I think is this weekend.
Yes. I was berated on the weekend for not being a true fan, for not knowing that. So.
Yes, but you know, just saying, the 2 years of the Premier League broke you. It was just too demoralising.
I was like, they fired my coach. What can I say? I was lost interest a bit again.
Yes, and replaced him with Jesse Marsh, the fucking, he's like a shit Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that's definitely not my style of coaching.
What, being kind and hugging people and being positive and having old mate from Buffy seething at you all the time?
Yes, there's definitely not much, you know, people singing at me. That's not something I've come across in my coaching career.
I think that's your problem. That's what you need. You definitely need more more musical numbers in your preparation for the World Cup.
Speaking of music, should we
get out of here and talk about it?
Come back and talk some tunes, because I do have a couple of extracurricular or outside of album music chat to talk to you about. So it might be a bit longer.
Outside of classification, like the really pointy climbs on the Tour de France. Absolutely. Yep. Well, this was the Bulls Podcast. I'm Doc. He's Bezo, and we'll be back to talk sport to you again next week.
See ya.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
I'm back.
Wolves back. Unfortunately for the Wolves, Luka learnt how to play defense. Uh-oh. Actually, that was the thing. In the fucking game 6 against the Thunder, for a bit I was just watching Luka, and the amount of effort he put in on defense to run people up, like he was on Shea and he was just harrying him, and Shea broke free and got to the perimeter, and there was Luka right in his fucking face with a hand, and it was the kind of effort and energy I just hadn't, you know, you never associate with him. And it was kind of late third, early fourth quarter. So, you know, it was the point at which you think he would have started getting those gasps on. So I think that's the single biggest reason the Mavs are here, is because Luka now plays passable guard defense.
Well, that's the thing, right? Guys like Luka and Jokic, they're pretty smart basketball players. You can't tell me that they are absolutely, like, they don't strike me as the sort of players that don't understand the scheme. And it's like, it's literally they just don't want to spend their energy there. And if they did want to spend their energy, they could probably get in the right places at the right time enough if they wanted to.
Yeah, and when you say the right time, we mean the fourth quarter of a game 6 in the conference semifinals, not a random Tuesday in November. And there's probably something to be said for the fact that these guys are still here and they're still, Jokic isn't playing anymore, but they've made it to the end of the year and that all their bits are still functioning because of, while playing high enough minutes, playing them LeBron style, knowing to when to modulate your effort and when to bring yourself up and when to fucking, you know, Messi style, walk when you don't have the ball kind of thing.
Well, it was the old Glenn Lazarus. You know, I used to watch Glenn Lazarus and he would have this incredible hit up and then he would sit out sort of just inside and behind the center and walk for, you know, a whole set of 6 and then make 2 big tackles and then walk. And then, you know, like it was all about burst but bursts at the right time, right? It wasn't just random.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a lot of faith in the brick with ice conditioning from 2000 or with the effect of all those hits that had on his brain, given that he turned out to be a fucking Clive Palmer. Was it Clive Palmer or Pauline Hanson he ended up with, or both?
Yeah.
He was...
look, find me a non-problematic sportsman. That's probably the easiest thing to say.
Valentino Rossi.
Oh, look, no, that's not true. There's heaps of them out there, but there's also a heap that you just... Like well, said, let's enjoy them playing.
There's a lot of people that we'd be glad not to know the internal monologue of. Most of them, as we discussed a few weeks ago, are 90s cricketers.
And the man who did so well with the bat has taken his eye off the ball, and the ball has just dribbled out of his fingers. He was about to...